Chapter 5. Henry in Love. The next day, we returned to court. Anne sat with her father in the front of the carriage, and I could see they were arguing. George and his mother rode together. Once again, I sat in the back of the carriage with the clothing. When we arrived at court, the palace guards took us to another apartment in the castle. There, Mary was waiting for the birth of her baby. Outside it was cold, but inside it was hot and smelly. The windows were shut to keep out the cold. The midwife was burning herbs to protect Mary from illness. Mary lay on the bed with her female friends and family around her. Anne sang to her sister and played the lute, but I could see she was bored. Every time there was a free moment, Anne escaped to the court. When she returned, she was very quiet, but there was a smile on her face. Anne never told me anything, but I was friends with the other servants. They saw her dancing with the king and playing cards with him, but sometimes they also heard them arguing. Finally, Mary gave birth to a big, healthy baby boy. I was in the room when the king came to see the baby. King Henry looked at the baby for a moment and then said, "He's a handsome boy, but he's not the son of a king." Soon after his visit, he sent Mary and the baby to live in another part of the castle. While we were looking after Mary, there were changes at court. In the kitchens, the gardens, and the royal apartments, everybody was watching and gossiping. King Henry VIII was in love with my mistress, Anne Boleyn. No one could understand it. Anne was not beautiful like Mary. She was too thin and dark-haired. Her nose was long and her mouth was small. Was it because she was elegant and intelligent? Next to her, the pink and white beauties of the court were very boring. The king was in love with Anne, but my mistress didn't want to be his lover. She wanted to be his queen. Like everyone else, Anne knew King Henry must have a legitimate son to keep the Tudor dynasty in power. Queen Catherine and King Henry only had one daughter, Princess Mary. The queen was too old to have another child, so King Henry needed a new young queen, and Anne wanted to be that queen. But before the king could marry Anne, he would have to annul his marriage or divorce Queen Catherine. King Henry was the most powerful man in England, but Catherine's nephew, Charles V, was the most powerful man in Europe. He was the Holy Roman Emperor. It was not going to be easy for King Henry to get divorced. After Mary gave birth, Anne and I returned to Queen Catherine's apartments. When we entered the room, the Queen and her ladies were listening to a priest reading lessons in Latin. The priest stopped reading. Queen Catherine and her ladies looked at Anne. No one said a word, but I could see the hate in their eyes. Everyone in the room detested Anne. Anne pretended not to notice, but she was hurt. Life in the new apartments was very boring for her. In the morning we prayed. In the afternoon we sewed clothing for the poor, and in the evening we prayed again. My young mistress was not a very domestic woman. She wanted to read her books, learn, and have some intelligent conversation, but there was nobody she could talk to. On Anne's first day in the Queen's apartments, a lady-in-waiting sat in Anne's old place near the fire. Poor Anne stood alone, not knowing where to sit. Then somebody showed her a chair near the door, and she went to sit in the coldest, loneliest place in the room. I could see the ladies-in-waiting smile at one another when Anne went to sit alone. They thought she was defeated, but I knew better. While Anne was sewing, she was making a little list in her head. She didn't know how, but one day she was going to get her revenge. She wasn't going to stay a humble servant for long.